Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You're listening to Kerry Lutz on another part of the Identity Theft Warriors, part of the Financial Survival Network. And we're really fortunate today. We've got Robert Siciliano on with us. He's a best-selling author and probably, if not the most knowledgeable person on identity theft, one of the top few. And you've been hearing so much about data breaches, identity theft lately. It seems like we're in the midst of a cyber war. Robert, thanks for coming on the show. What's your opinion of what's going on now in the country? Are we in a cyber war, or are these just unconnected acts that are taking place?
Well, there are many, many unconnected acts that certainly look like a cyber war. There is definitely a battle going on 24/7, 365 between good guys and bad guys. Good guys being information security professionals, bad guys being criminal hackers from all over the world, looking to compromise multiple databases in order to get various kinds of information. Often they're after usernames and passwords, names, addresses, telephone numbers, and of course, social security numbers. And they love credit card numbers. And then other hackers are going after government type data, such as military type information, and then corporate trade secrets. I mean, you name it. If it's on a database, if it's stored in a computer, it is a target of some hacker somewhere for some reason. And so consumers are often at a disadvantage because we are the low-hanging fruit. They like to go after you and I to get access to our online banking accounts and our identities. And then we're also at a significant disadvantage because all these corporations and government agencies that house our data often are being breached, and we don't have any control over data that's out of our immediate hands. So in the end, you know what to do. There's a lot you can do, and consumers need to arm themselves, so to speak, so that they can minimize the damage.
So as far as your home, your office, your personal computer that you use for home and work, what do you do there first?
Well, it's actually not that complicated, which is the good news. Protecting your devices boils down to some certain fundamentals. First and foremost, you have to be somewhat cybersecurity savvy. And that does not mean you have to be an expert. It just means you have to know the basics. You have to have antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-phishing, and a firewall. Like, that's the basics, right? And you usually get that in a package of antivirus. Like, if you just get free antivirus, then that's all you're getting. But if you get like a full package, you know, like the four components, and most antivirus protection services provide that. Like, I work with Intel Security, and they own McAfee, and McAfee has McAfee LiveSafe, and that has everything you need in order to protect your devices: antivirus, anti-spyware, anti-phishing, and a firewall. And then, of course, is the device itself. You want to have an updated device, which means that you don't want like a 1994 PC. You want a 2010 to 15 PC or Mac, for that matter. Anything 2012 and up is probably going to have Windows 7 or Windows 8. And you want to have at least Windows 7 at this point. Windows XP is dead. Windows Vista was never that good. Windows 7 is still really good. Windows 8 is fine. I kind of wait for Windows 10 if you don't have Windows 7 right now, because Windows 8 is a little clunky. But it's the most secure version of Windows operating system. And like I said, otherwise get a Mac. And then making sure that your device's operating system is updated with critical security patches. So even Windows 7 has what's called Service Pack 1, which is the most updated version of Windows 7. And that has all kinds of fixes for critical security issues or functionality issues and so forth. And I know, like, this is a lot of information for some people, and I might be going over some people's heads, but that's okay, because it's all real basic stuff. Just give it time. Let it filter in.
Sure.
And then there's also your wireless connection to the internet. So, for example, if you have a laptop and you're connected to Wi-Fi, you want to make sure you have a secure wireless connection to the internet. And that means in your home or office having, you know, a network key you have to plug in. So you have encrypted Wi-Fi in your home or office that requires a password. That means it's generally protected. You know, Wi-Fi needs to be encrypted. Whereas if you're in a public space, like in a coffee shop or a hotel or internet cafe, airport and such, you're getting free Wi-Fi often. And that free Wi-Fi is not properly protected. That free Wi-Fi is unencrypted. And anybody really can see your information in free Wi-Fi. So in those cases, you want to download a software called a VPN, a virtual private network. And this is a software you install on your devices that encrypts all of your data on free Wi-Fi. So you run the VPN when you're on free Wi-Fi, and it's kind of like you're surfing from your home Wi-Fi that's properly encrypted. So it's called a VPN. Another one of my clients, they called Hotspot Shield. So Hotspot Shield provides a VPN. It's free, and everybody should get it if they're functioning in a free Wi-Fi environment at any given point in time.
Makes sense.
And then the last fundamental, really, is password protection. So how many passwords do you have?
Oh, I have multiple passwords for – I have passwords for things I don't care about. Then I have more complicated ones for important ones, and I try to change them on a regular basis because you get complacent.
So you are cybersecurity savvy, and that's really good. And that's pretty much how I do things too. I have multiple passwords, some more complicated than others, my most critical accounts, you know, the most complicated ones, but I can also remember them. And I also use what's called a password manager. A password manager does just that. It manages your passwords. And it's a software program you download, you install, and you install it on Windows or Mac, and you can use it on Chrome or Safari or Internet Explorer or Firefox. And it works across devices, across browsers, meaning that if you have 10 PCs and you install the password manager on all 10 PCs, it should update all 10 PCs with all the latest passwords for all of your accounts and all of your browsers. And there are a number of options for password managers, and they cost free to $20 a year, which is pretty cheap. And so you have this, and it keeps your passwords encrypted on your device, and it also keeps it encrypted and stored in the cloud, which is fine. And by having this password manager, it allows you to have multiple passwords for multiple accounts that you don't necessarily have to remember, and it gives you the ability to use any of your devices at any given point in time with the most recent version of the password. I recommend password managers. It's probably one of the best investments of your money and time you can make for device and computer security. And then your devices themselves also need to be password protected. So if you lose a laptop or it gets stolen, of course, or if you lose a mobile phone, because people lose things, you want to make sure that device is password protected. So if somebody picks it up off the ground, they can't just go ahead and log into your account. So you have to have a password in your iPhone, your BlackBerry or your Nokia or a Samsung or HTC or whatever, because not having a password protected device, frankly, is irresponsible.
Yeah, it's just giving them the keys to the mansion without even having to work for it, right?
So true. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then your mobile devices, I mean, those are just a treasure trove of information that somebody can tap into fairly easily if you're not careful.
Yeah. And, you know, we do store our lives, so to speak, on our mobile devices. And I don't necessarily have any data on the device itself, but the device accesses data in the cloud that is, you know, personal and sensitive and could compromise my identity, which is why the device itself is password protected. And then for your Android devices, Android, again, Samsungs, HTCs, Nokias, and others that are not iDevices, they're not BlackBerries, they're not iPhones or BlackBerries. So anything Android need antivirus, right? So your iPhone doesn't need antivirus, but your HTC and Samsungs and Motorola's do, because there is a vulnerability there. The Android operating system is much more vulnerable, and without a form of antivirus, then you can get a virus, just like a PC can get a virus. So that's important to consider as well.
Yeah, because it's open source, like the PC, so there's a lot of different hardware and software systems available on it, and less central control like Apple exerts over the iOS system. So these mobile devices, though, is that where the identity theft and the data theft wars are going to be fought in the future, do you think?
Well, there definitely is a race to create viruses revolving around mobile. And there are, keeping things all in perspective, there are thousands of viruses targeting Macs, right? So your Apple devices, thousands. There are millions upon millions targeting PCs. And there are tens of thousands targeting your mobile devices. So there are still millions targeting PCs, tens of thousands targeting mobiles. So your risk level for mobile is still a lot lower than it is for your PCs. But over time, like you said, Android's open source, similar to the PCs. Over time, there'll be more and more vulnerabilities. So the way we get these viruses basically on a mobile device is we might click a link in a text message called a smish, like a fish. And when we click that link, it might compromise our device. We might visit a website that is infected and might click something in that website, download something to the mobile, and that might cause a problem. It's jailbreaking or rooting your device. So if you have an Apple, they call that jailbreaking. If it's a Android, they call that rooting. Basically what that does is you're installing software that basically takes down the walled garden that Apple or Google set up. And it makes the device more functional to a certain degree for some people, but it also makes it more vulnerable. And that vulnerability means that additional viruses that wouldn't normally be able to install in the device can. And the way you get them is you often will download apps from unapproved stores, such as iTunes and Google Play are the approved stores for iDevices and Android devices, whereas there are dozens, if not hundreds, of other places you can download apps for Androids and iPhones once your device is rooted or jailbroken, and it also makes your device much more vulnerable. So if you're not engaging in risky behavior, you have less to be concerned about, but at the same time, you still do need antivirus.
Right. So yeah, the added functionality, jailbreaking, rooting comes with a cost. And that is less security. So yeah, you gotta balance the two. Probably better off just leaving it alone. It's like when you mess with a car and you upgrade it and soup it up, but the cost is that you've compromised the safety systems in the car and you're more susceptible to accidents. And maybe the airbags aren't going to work so good when you get into that accident, right?
Your audience has one of the most cybersecurity intelligent hosts that I've had the pleasure to speak with. So, yes.
Well, I appreciate that. And you can't be too concerned about this stuff. I mean, look, they broke into the Office of Personnel Management, stole data on every single federal employee out there, and all the security clearances. I mean, if you're a federal employee right now, Robert, what are you thinking?
Well, so I am not a federal employee, but I am a member of United States Coast Guard's auxiliary, which is under the Department of Homeland Security. So while I'm not a paid employee, my data was part of that breach. Mm-hmm. And that means that whoever got access to it knows as much about me as the federal government does. That includes, you know, everything that you would find in a full background check, who my family is, a bit about them, you know, where I've lived, all the various phone numbers I've had, anything that you'd find in a background check, not so much bank or credit card type of information, but lots and lots of good data that could be used to potentially socially engineer me in the future. If somebody posing as the Coast Guard Auxiliary or the federal government contacted me, either by phone, email, or even snail mail. So I always need to be careful going forward, which I am anyways. And that data, in some way, shape, or form, due to the fact that they have my social security number, could be used to open up new lines of credit under my name, get credit cards under my name, and bank accounts and such. But I also have what's called a credit freeze. So a credit freeze locks down my credit report so that nobody really can open up a new line of credit under my name because they have a credit freeze, which if you don't have, is something that you should do. And it prevents new lines of credit from being opened up under your name without your authorization until you actually unfreeze or thaw your credit, which is a relatively easy process for both freezing it and thawing it. And it doesn't affect your existing lines of credit. It just prevents new lines of credit from being opened up without your authorization. So the long and the short of it is all these federal employees and those of different branches of the military and federal government do have a lot to be concerned about. But here's what I tell people all the time is that despite this 4 million plus records that were compromised, there have been billions of records compromised in the past decade. They say over a billion just in the past year alone. So consider your data breached. Consider your data already in the hands of a criminal, regardless of whatever notification you have or have not received. More than likely, your information to some degree is in the hands of criminals somewhere in the world. And so things like credit freezes, identity theft protection, updating your operating system, being aware of phishing emails and all the various scams. These are all things that you can and should do, be aware of, enlist in, deploy, etc. Because it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It's going to happen. Someone's going to try to get access to you. They're going to try to steal your identity. It's just inevitable. You know, death, taxes, identity theft, I mean, it's just the way of the world today.
Yeah, and actually our sponsor, which is called KeepMyID.org, is the only service out there that actually does the credit freezes for you on your credit reports, just as an aside, which is a great thing because we've known about these credit freezes for years and years, and yet, Robert, nobody does it. That's the problem with identity theft. Like so many other things, you know the right things to do. It's just like eating healthy. You know that you shouldn't be eating junk. You shouldn't be gobbling down, 12-ounce bags of potato chips while you're watching TV. You know you should be exercising, but you just don't do it. So you need somebody to do it for you. But like you said, you've already been breached, and the information's out there, the data's out there. So do you do something about it, or do you just sit back and wait for the inevitable to happen? It's kind of the way life works, I guess.
Yeah, and, the inevitable doesn't have to be inevitable if you are proactive about things, Lots of people, they just throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, well, I just want to eat the bag of chips, and so I get fat, big deal. And your arteries clog up and you're dead, and what good is that? But if you, do take some initiative and you do, think about the consequences of your actions or inaction, for that matter, and you take responsibility for certain things, and you can reduce a certain amount of risk and still, enjoy things. And then when it comes to security, that might mean, some inconveniences here and there that you might have to deal with because you have these different layers of protection in place. But in the end, you take responsibility, you do these different things, you create new habits and eliminate bad habits. Eventually you'll, be ahead above the rest and a tougher target, so to speak.
I think that's important. It's just like having the alarm in your house, the burglar alarm. The thieves see it and they say, well, let's find lower hanging fruit. And I guess that's the key. Take preparations, do what you can, and hope for the best, but don't obsess over it, make your life miserable either, because that can lead to all sorts of other, complications and neuroses that you really don't need. So, Robert, we want to get your book, find out more about you, your website. Where do we do all that?
Sure. I am at robertsiciliano.com, S-I-C-I-L-I-A-N-O, robertsiciliano.com, or if it's easier, idtheftsecurity.com. Again, it's idtheftsecurity.com. They go to the same place. And you can learn more about me and what I do and the programs I offer and my clients. And my book is also listed on my website. Or if you were to search Robert Siciliano on Amazon.com, it's right there as well.
All right. Well, Robert, thanks so much. And we appreciate you taking the time out to speak with us. Very valuable information. And we'll be talking with you again.
Awesome. Stay safe. Thank you.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.